This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
COVID relief was step one. Next on President Biden and Congressional Democrats' agenda is transportation and infrastructure, but with tax hikes likely to hit agriculture. From the fire into the frying pan, as Biden and Democrats now pivot to added massive spending to repair and rebuild the nation's aging infrastructure and pay for it with tax hikes, including on agriculture. American Farm Bureau tax advisor Pat Wolf.
Probably the one that's talked about most is repealing the stepped-up basis. That's the tax that determines how much capital gains tax is paid when an inherited property is sold. That's a really big deal for farmers and ranchers, because if there's a capital gains tax imposed at death in addition to the estate tax, that's a double whammy, and that makes it really hard to pass it farm from one generation to the other.
Some Democrats want to roll back the estate tax exemption from $11.7 million per person to $5 million or less, as GOP farm state lawmakers line up with bills to end the tax. Complicating matters, the Senate Democrats can use the streamlined budget process known as reconciliation to pass spending and tax hikes with 51 votes, including the vice president, instead of the usual 60-vote supermajority.
There is a chance that they will try to move spending and tax increases through a reconciliation measure, but we know from seeing how hard it was to get the first one passed, that keeping all the Senate Democrats together is in question. But reconciliation could be the way that they move the next tax and spending package.
Other likely tax hikes could impact individuals and corporations as the Biden administration tries to fund transportation, housing, and green energy programs. And going more in-depth on the death tax repeal legislation, that legislation was introduced in both the House and Senate, and that would eliminate the estate tax. The 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act temporarily doubles the estate tax exemption to $11 million per person, indexed for inflation through 2025. However, without congressional action, the estate tax exemption will revert to $5.5 million per person in 2026, putting even more farmers and ranchers at risk. And some lawmakers are hoping to end the extension to pay for the spending priorities. American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duval says eliminating the estate tax removes another barrier to entry for future family farmers. National Cattlemen's Beef Association President Jerry Bond says the estate tax disproportionately harms cattle producers because of the few options to pay off tax liabilities, while announcing the organization's support of the bill. The effort, however, is largely symbolic. Previous efforts failed to gain traction during the Trump administration when Republicans trolled both the House and Senate. And moving on into the latest crop insurance news here on your Thursday, farmers have until Monday of next week to make crop insurance decisions. It's been several years since the spring crop insurance price has been this high. The average price for December corn futures last month was $4.58 a bushel, and it was $11.87 for November beans. Those are the starting prices for crop insurance, and they're good ones, says University of Minnesota's Ed Usett.
Well, first of all, it's wonderful. The crop insurance levels are very high. That's a great thing to start with. And you got to have crop insurance. You got to have that. And then I'm telling producers, I'm just noting this tendency for the market to go lower. If we can assume a normal year, if we can assume some sort of a non-drought year, just a normal year in the Corn Belt, we're going to go lower by harvest.
Work from the University of Illinois agrees with that assessment, and it has Gary Schnittke advising farmers to take the highest RP policies they're comfortable with and to use ECO2 if they're willing to pay the premium. So for highly productive soils, 80 or 85% RP plus ECO to 90%, because he says it's worth it.
First off, I would say it's probably worth it because you're going to be protecting a higher revenue level. So if at all possible, think about that. But many farmers sort of have a budget in mind. If you want to keep in that $12 to $18 area, you're going to have to drop down from 85% to 80%, or roughly 5%. And that's probably the case if you did 80% last year, you're going to have to drop down to 75% to keep your premium about the same. Again, the good thing about dropping, if you will, dropping from 85 to 80 is you're probably still going to have a higher guarantee this year than last year at 80% versus 85% last year because of the higher prices.
Farmers on less productive soils say those in parts of southern Illinois or in the far western Corn Belt may have tougher decisions to make as it's related to ECO, even if they're inclined to stay the course on the RP policies. At least that's how Dan O'Brien from Kansas State sees it.
Is it an option? Yes. Is it costly? Yeah. So we need to balance the marginal cost, marginal benefit of going to those higher coverage levels, I guess, is maybe the most judicious thing I can say.
For those wanting to see how different coverage levels and options might work on their farm, the University of Illinois has a downloadable crop insurance decision tool. It's an Excel spreadsheet. Just type crop insurance decision tool into Google. It should be the first thing to pop up from the FarmDoc website. And taking a look now at State Ag News on your Thursday, a Chicago-based startup has launched Good Sport, which is a sports drink that's 97% dairy and aims to compete nationally against leading brands. Good Sport founder and CEO Michelle McBride conceived the concept after being frustrated with the sports drink category options.
I developed Good Sport sports drink because I didn't want my son drinking the artificial sports drinks that were being offered to him at his baseball games. And I have a lot of athletes in my family, and no athletes are willing to do anything to help improve their performance, build muscle, et cetera. And drinking a drink filled with artificial ingredients didn't really mesh with that lifestyle.
McBride says milk is a natural source of the essential electrolytes and carbohydrates needed to provide effective hydration. To bring her idea to life, McBride engaged recognized experts in sports nutrition and from across the dairy industry.
The first was Dr. Bob Murray, a sports nutrition scientist, very well known. Bob was the founder and director of the Gatorade Sports Science Institute for a couple decades. And so he oversaw the formulation of the drink. It was tricky because our early prototypes were still milky, and that wasn't sitting well with consumers. So we worked with the Center for Dairy Research at the University of Wisconsin. What we learned is that we could use ultrafiltration to remove the protein from milk and harness the electrolytes, vitamins, and carbs that provide superior hydration in a clear, refreshing sports drink.
The sports drink line has a diverse flavor line. McBride says everything in the drink comes from natural sources as well.
Our tastes change when we're working out, and so it's important that we have the right balance of sweetness and tartness, because you want people who are sweating, whether it's through hard work or being on a basketball court or whatnot, to want to consume the drink. And so we worked on the flavors for a very long time, but all of the flavors are made from natural flavors. When we use colors, they're from natural sources like carrots and blueberries. Everything in, you know, the product comes from a natural source.
And you can find the drink on Amazon. And much of March has been dry across Illinois, but that'll change as we go on for the rest of this week. A more active weather pattern is on the way, according to meteorologist Dan Hicks.
I think the wettest period of time is going to be starting later this week and through the 6 to 10 day time frame. I think during that period of time, most of the Midwest is going to have above normal amounts of precipitation. And we may have a two-week period of time where some parts of the state pick up as much as 2 to 4 inches of melted precipitation, certainly jumping up those March totals quite a bit during that period of time. Right now, I don't see major snowfall in Illinois. It looks like perhaps some northern areas of the Midwest will have the best chance for some snow. Once we get past the 10 or 12-day time frame, it does look a little bit drier than for the 11 to 15 day and beyond. So I think the wettest weather is going to come later this week through about the 20th or so of March. I see a little bit of a drier window returning after that time. Regarding temperatures, cooling down a little bit later this week, I think that the 6 to 10, 11 to 15 day period temperatures will be a bit closer to normal, but no sign of return to well below normal temperatures like we saw back in February.
And according to data from the Illinois State Climatologist, the preliminary statewide average February temperature was 20 degrees, about 11 degrees below the last 30-year average, and it was also ranked the 10th coldest on record dating back 125 years to 1895. And finally, now we'll take a look at local ag news coming up across the Mid-Illinois listening area. The Highland FFA chapter, along with the Green for Life initiative, will have a used oil drive this coming Saturday. This was originally scheduled for this past Saturday, but again, it will be held this coming Saturday, the 13th, at the Highland Middle School parking lot, and it will be held from 8 till noon on Saturday. And also being held this coming Saturday is the Macoupin County Farm Bureau Young Farmers Tire Drive. It'll be held at Carlinville Truck Equipment at 20868 University Street in Carlinville. Cost to recycle is $1 a tire, and they'll be accepting passenger and light-duty tires only 13 to 20 inches, and there is a limit of 20 tires a person. Tires must be off the rim and be free of mud and other debris. Again, this will be held on Saturday morning from 8 until 12 noon or until both trailers are full. This year they have two trailers. And the Macoupin County Farm Bureau Young Farmers Tire Drive is sponsored by Carlinville Truck Equipment, Century 21, Brant Consolidated, M&M Service Company, and J.F. Benty Sons. And that concludes your Ag News here on this Thursday afternoon. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by an email at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Thursday afternoon, March 11th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.